Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, the development in the Bank of Ireland scandal is, as you've been listening to it now for nearly 10 days on Liveline, people get texts, as you know, from the Bank of Ireland. And these are texts about COVID or whatever, but they're genuine Bank of Ireland texts. And then on the same thread, on the exact same screen, in comes another text saying your account has been compromised. And obviously people think it's on the same thread that is from the Bank of Ireland. Please click this link and we'll help you. Now, Francesca McDonagh, the CEO of the Bank of Ireland, was on Morning Ireland this morning. And I was trying to listen to back to it again because I'm trying to work out, did she even apologise or sympathise with all the Bank of Ireland customers who've been ripped off? And they've been ripped off on a Bank of Ireland thread. Somebody is managing to break into the Bank of Ireland IT system and send messages to their customers. And almost without exception, the Bank of Ireland have said, it's nothing to do with us, you gave your details. By the way, this is what Francesca McDonagh said this morning when she was asked about the scam.
Incredibly important for customers not to divulge their personal login details, one-time passwords or their full PINs to anyone. It is like giving someone the keys to your car or dropping your wallet on the street. I mean, you're making yourself very, very vulnerable to fraud. And if people are suspicious of any transaction, they should certainly raise it. And we will never text a customer asking them for confidential information like some of these criminals have done.
And it's coming in on the Bank of Ireland text line. That's the key. And people were pointing out that below the fraudulent activity, it would be another genuine text from the Bank of Ireland on the same thread. Where's Warren? Is Warren there? Warren, good afternoon. You there, Warren? Darren, my fault. Darren, good afternoon. Did you hear what Francesca McDonagh said? You left your car keys. You gave someone your car keys. That was your fault.
Yeah, well, Joe, just it's quite shocking to think that that's the reply that people are getting. And like the answer, you know, it's where's the duty of care from Bank of Ireland in the first place? I feel that they have to put a stone wall up because if they engage or sympathise in any way, they have no reply or they have no answer to people because, you know, they may say that they don't send us texts to ask for details. Surely, with this is going on months now, why have they not told people who have accounts with Bank of Ireland that, our number can be compromised and you may well receive texts from other people?
Well, what they're saying is in their original statement to Liveline, they wouldn't come on Liveline, unfortunately.
No, of course they wouldn't.
And the original statement to Liveline, they said this scam is common to many institutions, not just the Bank of Ireland. It's common to social welfare. It's common to, I think they mentioned other banks. So we're looking for examples from other banks. But it seems to be they've managed to jump into the Bank of Ireland IT system. But they're saying it's nothing to do with us if they're in our IT system for some reason.
Well, the other thing is, Joe, I heard last week that somebody mentioned that the recipient of their money was a company or a person called Wirex, and that was similar to my own situation.
Okay. How much did you lose, by the way?
Just under 3,000 euros.
Sorry, how much was robbed on you?
Yeah, that's more like 3,000 euros, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was robbed on you on the Bank of Ireland thread, text thread.
Yep.
And the Bank of Ireland say you left your car keys. You gave your keys to your car to somebody.
Well, that's all very well, but if that's the case, it's like the garage giving somebody else a second set of keys to my car, and whoever gets to it first.
Well said. Well,
you know, what's the difference there? I just don't understand how they have this, you know, so-called great security system in place, and somebody mentioned last week that they had this Wirex was who the money went to. And why can Bank of Ireland not block that name, person, company, or whatever, so that next time it pops up on my account, the system will say, you know, red flag it, and it's not going to happen to more people. You know, it's not enough just putting the blame on the customers. there has to be some, you know, it just seems to be the most amateur's weakest security system. And I would just be very wary of having any money in that bank at this stage if this is how the system works and how they treat their customers.
Okay, explain to people again how they robbed your money.
Well, I have gone back to, I think it's 2015, I have texts in a thread that you would have from Bank of Ireland going back, and they've been sending different ones around COVID and things like that.
Yeah.
I got a text to say that there was unusual activity on my account and clicked the link.
I did
click the link, and it asked for some of my code for my 365, the online. The website was perfect. I really thought I was in Bank of Ireland. I did that. I then was told that I was going to receive a code to cancel transaction. With the iPhone, you can either let the code go in immediately into, if you're buying something online, you don't have to go into your messages, copy the code or remember the code, and then go back into your app. The iPhone does it for you if you want. It did it for me. I let it do it. I pressed it and thought I had cancelled transaction. Actually, two of them, believe it or not, came in at the very same time for €20. Just must have been seen was it working, and then they took more. This all happened within, I'd say, 20 seconds. I just then said, I just checked that that's been cancelled, went into the bank. 5 minutes later, I just said, I'd go into the app just to check that they has been cancelled, and got defrauded that obviously the money was taken. Rang them immediately, was told, first of all, that there was nobody there because of COVID restrictions. Nobody worked in the fraud department on a Saturday or Sunday, which I was blown away by, because surely security should be number one and people should be working 24/7. I explained to the girl. She told me I had to go in, put in my digits wrong to block myself out of it so they couldn't go back in and set up direct debits, because that was another thing that she said they can do, is actually set up a direct debit in your account, and you may not know that. You have to check for things like that as well. And they sent me out a new card. And of course, with the new card, there's terms and conditions. And another thing I don't understand, Joe, is it says on the terms and conditions for debit cards that there's charge back if you don't receive the goods. So why can we not charge back and use our insurance for all the fees we've paid? I'm with Bank of Ireland 33 years. So I haven't received any goods. I've asked them what goods did I buy, because they've told me that I intentionally bought goods. So nobody can tell me who I've paid. Nobody can tell me what I bought. So surely my insurance will cover that, and everyone else's insurance will cover that if we're being told we've purchased something.
And the other thing I was suggesting yesterday, and again, this wasn't even alluded to by Ms. McDonough this morning, the CEO of Bank of Ireland. And I know most of the interview was about how brilliantly they're doing during COVID and how
that great.
And that's fair enough. But and they're suffering like every bank during COVID. But also this comes.
Customers are suffering.
Am I right in thinking I better double check before I say it, but I'm almost sure I was on holidays. But I heard about the central bank fining a bank for not reporting a fraud.
Bank of Ireland.
Yeah, that was Bank of Ireland. That's right, Todd.
Just
didn't want to say. But this was in the shadow. Within the shadow, with the Bank of Ireland the Central Bank fining the Bank of Ireland a significant amount of money, especially for the Bank of Ireland, especially for the Central Bank, and who sell them anyway. But that's neither here nor there, for not reporting a fraud. And then here's, I do all the names again that have actually been on there: Niamh, Michael, Donald, Finbar, Gavin, Teresa, Patrick, Ashling, James, Sarah, Willie. And the list will go on today with Raymond, Donald, Michael, Darren. It'll go on and on and on. All people who've lost money through the Bank of Ireland. The only reason you've lost money is, one, there's criminals out there, but two, that you have an account with the Bank of Ireland. Isn't that the common thread? Raymond, Raymond, good afternoon. How much did you lose, Raymond?
I lost short 6,000, John.
And in Francesca McDonough's words, where did you leave your car keys so the thieves could take your car keys? That's what you did. It's like giving your keys to your car away.
Yeah, well, when you went into this website, Joe, like the previous man there, it looked very good. The interface looked very well. It was all well laid out, and that's all they can say, I suppose, the Bank of Ireland.
And as Darren said, well, someone else had was given a spare set or has got their hands on a spare set of car keys, which only the Bank of Ireland can issue. But they've managed to duplicate those car keys, not through Darren, but through the Bank of Ireland site. And the Bank of Ireland is saying, hands up, nothing to do with us, not even a word of sympathy. Anyway, Raymond, just explain the scam again, because it's such a consistent scam, and how you were taken in by it.
Well, on the 16th of April, Joe, I received a text saying there's a suspicious your card is being deactivated due to a suspicious charge in your account.
Yeah.
Go to this link to review this charge. I went
and this
link.
Text came in on the screen that also had text from the Bank of Ireland saying, remember COVID and wash your hands and all that, carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Very same screen. And I went into the link, Joe. I put in my 3 digits of my PIN.
Three digits, not your PIN, 3 digits.
Yeah. And I proceeded then, and they gave me a one-time passcode then to enter in it. That came in by text message too on the same thread.
And by the way, when you're doing a transaction through the Bank of Ireland, which I'm a customer of the Bank of Ireland, they do say we would send you a verification code over the mobile phone. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
There is form here. Okay, Raymond, go ahead.
So and then when I put in the one-time passcode, on my phone it didn't load, George, and it said to me, you may put in the passcode again, which I did. Mm-hmm. So I had actually two amounts taken out of my account, two amounts just short of 3,000. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my account then straight away and realised the money was gone. And I rang the Bank of Ireland then straight away, reported my complaint. And she said, it'll be investigated and... I got word then about 10 days later, this letter came out saying that I was being held liable for the charges. I gave supplied this one-time passcode and the Bank of Ireland weren't held liable at all.
But you didn't get, you didn't give your full pass number.
No.
And secondly, when they say you clicked this one-time number, this OPC, I think it's called, but that was the OPC given by the fraudsters.
Yeah.
It wasn't your OPC.
No, given by the fraudsters, yeah.
And so where do you stand? By the way, Raymond, £6,000 is a lot of money. A lot of
money.
Is, 12 grand earned before tax to get around £6,000 these days, if you're on just above the average industrial wage. What was the £6,000 for?
Actually, I'm saving to buy a house, Joe. You know?
Okay.
That's what the money was for. But I rang in today just to, there's power in numbers. I'm hoping that all these people ringing in will... The Bank of Ireland have to do something about it.
And you say your brother was hit as well?
No, I'm not the only person I know that was
hit. Okay. Let me go to Donal. Donal, I think it was one of the first calls. Donal's daughter had, nearly £3,000 taken from her by this scam through the Bank of Ireland. Not because of the Bank of Ireland, but through the Bank of Ireland. And what did you think, Donal, of what Francesca McDonough said? You gave your daughter gave her car keys away.
Yeah, I didn't hear that this morning, Joe.
You'll hear it now. You'll hear it now.
Yeah. Incredibly important for customers not to divulge their personal login details, one-time passwords, or their full PINs to anyone. It is like giving someone the keys to your car or dropping your wallet on the street. I mean, you're making yourself very, very vulnerable to fraud. And if people are suspicious of any transaction, they should certainly raise it. And we will never text a customer asking them for confidential information like some of these criminals have done.
First of all, people, as far as I know, didn't divulge full PIN numbers, as in Darren's case. They were asked for three digits of their PIN. Secondly, your daughter is accused of giving her car keys willingly and knowingly to a fraudster. Now, would your daughter do that in the normal course of her day-to-day life?
No, she received a text from Bank of Ireland, 365 Bank of Ireland, and it said your Bank of Ireland Visa card is deactivated due to a suspicious charge made on the 27th of the 4th, 2020, and proceed to www.365online to review the transaction. And she did that. Now, I'm just amazed that the Miss McDonough this morning didn't acknowledge at least that last week the central bank stated quite clearly that Bank of Ireland had inadequate systems and controls to minimise the risk of loss from fraud. and that is governance, oversight and review of systems and control environment were also inadequate. And then over the last 4 or 5 days, we've seen that all these fraudulent examples are all Bank of Ireland. So there is a problem. There's an obvious problem, and she didn't acknowledge it in any way, it looks like. And as I said in the call last week, I know from other examples dealing with other banks that they have warnings in there. If you're transferring money, paying a merchant online via card or whatever, that you're warned. Do you know this merchant? Are you acquiring goods? And if I just as a little experiment, I mean, I was looking at the Visa card system. Not everybody can accept payments by Visa card. It's merchants. You have to set up yourself with Visa and its partner bank to do that. And if you look at their conditions, they say that before entering into a merchant agreement, it is ensured that the prospective merchant is all of the following: financially responsible, not engaged in any activity that would cause harm to the Visa system, operating within an allowed jurisdiction, and so on. And in order to set yourself up, you obviously have to provide a great deal of details about your businesses and so on. And this is what I find amazing. I've asked Bank of Ireland this, why they cannot, why they don't have visibility on who this entity is at the other end. And we informed them within minutes of it happening. It was the 27th of April, and it appeared on her account on the 28th of April. And on the 15th of May, another transaction of a small credit came back from the same entity into her account. And why the Bank of Ireland don't have visibility, maybe I guess I don't understand the banking IT systems, but they must be very poor that they've no visibility on this. And my daughter's going back to college next month. She needs more funding.
I remember hearing you originally. That's all the money she has.
Well, I'm about to transfer more money to her. But it won't be to Bank of Ireland. I would be very terrified about transferring money to any account in Bank of Ireland at this point after all of this.
And where are you standing? Bank of Ireland said you're liable for the full loss. You gave your car keys away. Now, if anyone in the country has given their car keys away to someone they don't know on the street, out of the blue, knowing that that person was going to drive off in their car, would they please let us know? Because that's what Francesca McDonough believes people did. Somebody walked up to somebody and said, can I have your car keys? And you said, of course you can. Absolutely. You look very, very honest to me. Take my car, take my money, and off you go. In other words, that you were a willing participant in this. You were not. You were not. Michael, how much did you lose through the Bank of Ireland?
So, Joe, on the 30th of June, I lost €4,925.
Okay, tell us how.
Similar to all your other cases, I got the text, scrolled back up to see that it was through my message feed in Bank of Ireland, clicked the link to see what the suspicious activity was.
Yeah.
So I entered my details.
Did you enter your full PIN number?
That is a bit hazy, to be honest, Joe.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I know I entered my details, and I gave the one-time passcode.
That they gave you?
Yes.
Yeah. Not your one-time, that they supplied to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, what general age group are you, Michael?
30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you lucky enough to have a job at the moment? Or?
Yeah. No, I'm working away.
Okay.
Money that I lost.
Have you ever been stopped on the street at random, Michael, by somebody saying, hello, Michael, can I have your car keys, please?
Yeah, no, and look, I was listening to what Francesca said, and I was just thinking there as the other people were talking. Like, if somebody came up to you at the ATM and said, look, you know, give me your card, give me what you have, you know, and they took your money, as hard as it would be, I think you'd feel a bit better, because this is a horrible experience. You have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, no answers. You know, it's
and no responsibility been taken.
Yeah.
Okay. So Michael, you lost nearly five K. Have you got the same response from the bank as everyone else? It's your hard luck, you gave your car keys away.
That's this, yeah. If you look through their terms and conditions, they say that you're responsible for your details.
Okay. If anyone has given their car keys away, it could have been a gesture of charity to someone who randomly stopped them on the street. Could they contact us on 51551, wash your hands of this, Bank of Ireland?
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Met and Joe at RT.ie. You've met Richard Emery on the programme before. I first heard him, I think it was on Money Box and You and Yours on BBC Radio 4. He's an independent bank fraud investigator. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you keeping?
I am fortunate. I am keeping very well, thank you.
Have you been able to listen to some of the stories that we're hearing today of this scam?
Yeah. I mean, this is... my heart goes out to everybody who is losing money as a result of the incredibly clever scams that are going on. These are not just sort of, casual people. These are, organized crime groups. They are, they are really very serious people. So really what I want to do is to just try to bring a little bit of technical input to this.
Okay. Well, can I
get the bank's responsibility?
So, Richard, I don't mean to cut across you, but the only reaction we've had so far in detail from the bank was at the tail end of an interview that the CEO of Bank of Ireland, Francesca McDonagh, did on Morning Ireland this morning. And she was asked, this programme wasn't mentioned, it wasn't specified, but anyone that's been listening to the programme knows that's where all the stories have been coming from. But this is her response.
Incredibly important for customers not to divulge their personal login details, one-time passwords, or their full PINs to anyone. It is like leaving, giving someone the keys to your car, or dropping your wallet on the street. I mean, you're making yourself very, very vulnerable to fraud. And if people are suspicious of any transaction, they should certainly raise it. And we will never text a customer asking them for confidential information like some of these criminals have done.
So, Richard, it's the customer's fault. It's like giving somebody, I've never heard of anyone who's done it, it's like giving a fraudster the keys to your car.
Okay, right. So let me just try to bring something to this, which is, if you go to the Bank of Ireland terms and conditions and you read paragraph 12.6, right, the important thing about this is these individuals who are the victims did not authorise the transaction. They didn't go online and say, I want this transaction to happen.
Okay.
What has happened is the fraudsters have managed to gain access, and then the fraudsters have done the transaction. So we read this. You will be liable for the full amount of the unauthorized payment if they were made because of any fraud by you, or because you failed intentionally or by behaving with gross negligence to fulfill your obligations under these terms and conditions. Now, that paragraph comes directly from the Payment Service Directive, which is issued across the whole of Europe. Okay. So I'm quite familiar with this because I deal with this in the UK. And it's important to understand those three tests. Right? So the transactions are unauthorized.
Okay.
Now, did those transactions happen because of fraud by the cardholder? No. Did those transactions happen because the fraudster intentionally breached their obligations? Now, their obligation is to keep their card and their security details safe. Actually, no, they didn't do it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Intentional is, I'm sitting in the office, it's pouring with rain, I want £50 from the ATM, I give somebody my card and my PIN, somebody I work with, somebody I trust, and I say, can you draw £50 from the ATM? If they withdraw £500, I can't claim the money from the bank.
Of course,
because I intentionally breached the terms and conditions. So that leaves us with this one phrase, with gross negligence. So it's not have these people being foolish, it's not have these people being careless, it's have these people being grossly negligent. And the example that is given of gross negligence is writing down your PIN and keeping it with your card in your wallet.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's not what's happened. These people have not done this. What they have done is they have been the victims of sophisticated social engineering and fraud. It's important to understand from the bank's point of view, because I have to look at it from the other side.
Yeah, please do.
The bank cannot stop these messages arriving. It is not the bank's fault that when that the fraudsters can send messages and those messages appear to come from the bank. That is a telecommunications industry issue that happens in the UK as well. So we can't blame the bank for the fact these people got the message.
Okay.
But the people had reason to believe the message was genuine. Mm-hmm. And the way that they acted was, in my professional view, reasonable. It was most certainly these people, from the stories I have heard, were not grossly negligent. And that is what the Bank of Ireland terms and conditions say. And that is what the payment directive from Europe says.
But remember, the CEO of the Bank of Ireland, Francesca McDonagh, is saying you were grossly negligent because you gave your car keys away to a stranger.
No, no, because you, if you did do that, mm-hmm. without an understanding of what the risk was, then you would be grossly negligent.
Gross negligence
implies an understanding of the risk. These people were not aware that there was a risk. So no, I mean, and we've had this argument in the UK 3 years ago, and 2 years ago, 2018, and the Financial Ombudsman Service in the UK said, look, banks, if you want to show that somebody's being grossly negligent, you have got to demonstrate a level that is way, way high. This is not carelessness. It's not being mm-hmm. casual. It's not even being negligent. It is an extreme state. And that's why we use this expression, writing down your PIN and keeping it in an undisguised form with your card. That is gross negligence. What these people have done is not gross negligence, in my professional opinion.
Okay, and as I say, the example from the bank was you gave your car keys away. We've yet to hear of anyone in the country who gave keys away to a stranger.
Yeah, it's a completely crazy analogy. It just doesn't work.
Which is our battle at the minute on behalf of our listeners, who've done nothing wrong and definitely nothing grossly negligent. How do they get their money back?
Well,
because the bank are washing their hands of it. They've driven off in their Mercs and said it's nothing to do with us. It was your car keys you gave away.
Okay, because I'm in the UK, I don't know your whole system.
Okay,
right. But here's the crucial question is, do you have some form of financial ombudsman
service? Yes, we do. State-supported, state-funded.
Right, yeah. Go to the Financial Ombudsman Service and, you know, if the Financial Ombudsman Service starts saying, yes, we believe you've been grossly negligent, then come back to me and we'll have a conversation about what that means. Because there's a load of stuff which the very nice young lady I spoke to before coming on air,
Rebecca,
pointed her to my website where I outline what gross negligence really means.
Okay, what's that website, Richard, so the Bank of Ireland can get onto it immediately? What's that website, Richard?
Right, okay. Right, we will. Well, I'll tell you what, you can send it to the Bank of Ireland, because I don't normally deal with cases in Ireland. So you don't want to get involved with that.
Okay, now.
But can I come back? There is something else which, while I'm talking to your wonderful listeners, there is something else which I just want to give, you know, just in a very few seconds, something to be really, really careful of. There has been a big issue over the last few years of people apparently offering secondhand cars for sale.
Okay.
Right? And we now, because of changes in the way certain things happen in the UK called confirmation of payee, we are already seeing these fraudsters now moving to Ireland.
Okay.
So I just want to put this message out to your wonderful listeners. If you are looking to buy a secondhand car, do not pay up front without seeing the vehicle.
Okay, good one.
Because there's been a massive problem in the UK where people pay half and then the car never turns up and they can't get the other half back. And because they've authorised the payment, they're in real difficulty getting the money back.
Well,
so a real warning, if you're thinking of buying a secondhand car sight unseen, check, double check, be absolutely super careful. Because this is an area where organised crime gangs are moving into Ireland. So just a word of warning to your wonderful listeners.
Especially from such a reputable source as yourself, Richard. And Richard, did the customers who were scammed in the UK, did they get their money back?
We in 2018, the Financial Ombudsman Service in the UK redefined the way they would treat accusations of gross negligence. And I know of £600,000 of refunds that came about as a result of that change. And that's just the ones I know about. Okay. So really, the Bank of Ireland have got to face up to the fact these people have not been grossly negligent.
I think any fair person would agree with you there, Richard. I really, listening to the stories over the last 10 days. And now, the other thing I want to say to you, Richard, the Bank of Ireland now know that their tech system, and through the telecom system, is being hijacked by these fraudsters. Okay.
Yes.
The Bank of Ireland also say now no one should ever participate in any dealings, financial dealings, on this text line. Okay, that's what they're saying. So if you do, that's your fault. But surely, what is the harm in the Bank of Ireland at the moment saying we are suspending our text line? Because nothing of value can be transacted on it. And the reason why we're suspending it is because somebody is accessing it to defraud our brilliant, wonderful customers. Do you follow me?
I follow you exactly. And I think the bank has to look at how they use different communication channels. And the trouble is that text messaging is a very convenient way of communicating with customers.
Yeah, I know that.
And getting people on the phone is sometimes difficult. And of course, we also need to recognise that email can be spoofed as well.
I don't understand that. Yes.
You know, so the banks have a real challenge, but there is one thing that I'm arguing in the UK the banks should do, mm-hmm. which is that if ever you phone the bank. Right, there's going to have to be more phone calls.
Okay.
Right, we're going to have to talk to the bank more often rather than electronically. But think on this. If you phone the bank or the bank phones you, the entire focus of the security protocol is you spend your time proving to the bank that you are you.
Yeah.
The bank spends no time proving that they are them.
Okay.
Now, that's one of the things the banks have got to change. The banks have got to put in a two-way security protocol, so you prove who you are and they prove who they are.
Okay, but
and this is this would be a major development in preventing fraud.
But my point, we now live in a COVID world where dramatic decisions are being made on the turn of a dime. Dramatic decisions and people, dramatic changes in our way of life are being made overnight.
Yes.
Within Nicola Sturgeon announces there at lunchtime, 5 o'clock today, Aberdeen, shut down, end of every restaurant, every pub, every outdoor activity, bye-bye, gone, until we decide otherwise. So we live in an era of dramatic decisions. What would be wrong? Or what is stopping the Bank of Ireland saying, the text line has been, to come back to my point, the text line has been compromised, it's gone for the time being until we sort it out, or until the telecom company sort it out. And by the way, you will lose no money because we don't transact money on it, and we will lose no money because we don't transact money on it. Why not just abandon, suspend that text line for the time being in a dramatic decision? Well, it's not dramatic in the world we live in. It's a grain of sand.
I think you're asking a very, very important question that goes beyond, you know, if you shut down text messaging, where it's going to go is email. You know, we see a significant amount of email-based fraud. So here is the challenge, is the banks have got to fundamentally review the way that they communicate with customers, whether it's by phone, whether it's by text, whether it's by email. They've got to take a long, hard look at all of that stuff and enhance the level of security of the whole banking process. This is a big, big exercise that the banks have got to do, not just Bank of Ireland, but all the banks have got to sit down and do it. So I personally would say, well, if you shut down the text message thing, all the fraudsters are going to do is switch to email. If you shut down all the email communication from the banks, then how, you know, do we really expect the banks to start posting out letters, you know, with all the implications of that when people are, you know, with all the COVID stuff and everything? It is a real challenge, but the banks have got to do far more. They need a, you know, real root and branch review of how they communicate.
Okay. And Richard, do you drive, Richard?
Occasionally, yeah. Yeah, okay. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I put fuel in my car for the first time.
Well done, man. Can I ask what type of car you drive?
I drive a VW Touran.
Touran, lovely car.
Yeah, otherwise known by the grandchildren as Grandpa's Big Blue Grand. Bus.
Well, have you ever been inclined to walk down High Street near where you live in Berkshire, maybe in Windsor? Have you ever been inclined to walk down High Street with the keys to your Touran and just hand them to a random stranger and say, "There you are, thanks very much"?
No, because that would be stupid.
That would be grossly negligent. I suspect.
No, it would just be plain stupid.
Yes, sorry. So is that what the Bank of Ireland are saying? Our customers have been stupid.
It really annoys me when financial services organisations use those sorts of, you know, parallels. It just does not work. And the thing is that it takes away from... and I appreciate the jest behind it, but it takes away from a very serious issue, which is regulations are there. And if the bank, and it's a fight I have with the banks all the time, I said, what do the regulations say? Now, let's talk about this. What do the regulations actually say? What do they mean? And are you complying with them? We know what they say. We know what they mean. The bank is not complying with them.
Okay. Thanks a million, Richard. I really appreciate your time again, and we hope to see you soon. And stay safe and stay well, Richard. And thank you again for your such clarity and expertise. That's Richard Emery, the independent and an independent bank fraud investigator. As I have first heard him doing an incredible job for people who've been defrauded, and the BBC Money Box, I think, took up the case. And Richard was superb, as he has been today, with his clarity. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Anyone who heard Roman on last week, Roman Shortall, when he skewered the Department of Social Welfare Protection over his detailed, I think he single-handedly, if you ask me, I was a listener, he single-handedly, by his forensic examination of what happened to him at Dublin Airport, when they took his PPI number, because he was going on a flight to Romania, by the way, which, and as Roman said, there was no reasonable cause, but they took his PPS number, and then they docked his children's allowance for the 2 weeks he was away, even though, rightly so, we don't dock anyone's children's allowance if they are abroad. But anyway, he got that changed quickly, and he got the payment for people. Just anyone who heard him, I've talked to so many people who heard him. He was just so forensically brilliant, Roman Shortall. And Peter Amory is the same clarity as far as Richard Amory is the same clarity as far as I'm concerned in taking on the Bank of Ireland there. Peter Atkinson, Peter, okay, the link came to you, but you managed to defeat it. What happened, Peter?
Yeah, same situation, Joe, with the text number and the link on the text number. So just straight to the website. I think probably a lot of people don't realise that the web address, the Bank of Ireland web address, or the link that's on it, is www-365onlinesecure.com. It's the dash bit that they've cloned the Bank of Ireland web address. So they have a web page which was cloned off the Bank of Ireland. So the first thing they ask you, which they normally do, you key in your three digits of your six-digit number. The next part, which nobody has actually realised, they ask you to verify your three digits that you've just keyed in, but they actually ask you for the second three digits. That's the point where they have your six digits.
Okay, so Peter, you clearly...
But
you're saying the Bank of Ireland need to admit that their SMM system was compromised.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the problem. That's where the root.
They won't admit that.
Point. But that's
they
it.
Say you were about to give your car keys away to a perfect stranger.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, to be honest with you, Joe, none of that actually is relevant from that point of view. We know, obviously everybody knows now that that SMS system doesn't work. And clearly, obviously, if you're getting a message like that...
But the BFI would say, well, that's because of our telecom supplier. This is what Richard is saying.
Yeah, well, again, as I said to you, that whole SMS system, I think many years ago, should we all know you could spoof in any number and send it, you know?
Okay, let me bring in Sue Kane, Joe at RT.ie. Sue, you work in IT cyber security in a financial company. What's your take on this?
Hi, Joe. Yes, to be honest, I actually received the same message about 2 months ago. I had received previous messages from Bank of Ireland in December, and that was just verifying your phone number. That's fine. They're perfectly legit. Then when I received those ones, it was about an activity or a suspicious activity on your account, the usual. But because they sent the link, so one of the general rules is you never actually click on a link that's sent into an email, because the banking or financial institutions wouldn't send you a link that way. It's constantly in their terms and conditions. But what was interesting for me was I'd been discussing it with my dad, and I actually went into one of the branches of the bank and brought in my phone, showed them the messages, and I said, guys, these look like they're fraudulent and they're going to cause a problem. And actually, I was told they were actually legit, and I actually showed them the difference between the messages. This was about a month and a half ago, and I said, they're actually not legit. This is actually a scam. But I don't know whether I was taken seriously or not, but I did say to them I worked in IT, and I didn't click on the links. And I automatically went in and deleted everything out of BOI in my phone.
Wow. Okay. And what Peter, come back to Sue. Have you a solution to this?
Personally, advising people, you know, not to click on a link in a text is probably not really a solution at all, because many people, you know, click on something without even thinking about it, you know. I personally think, you know, the flaw lies at the BOI level, in that I know they're using a telecommunications company, but, you know, cyber security is owned by the institution. It's up to them to protect their clients' data.
Joe?
What do you think, Sue, what do you think of the Bank of Ireland line, you gave your car keys away?
Well, actually, I think it was Peter that spoke there above, and I didn't realise that you actually gave the six figures, but I would have responded prior to that saying you actually didn't give your keys away. You actually, no one can drive a car with just a fraction of a key. And if you've only given three digits of your code away, how on earth would they actually access your bank account with three figures only?
So no one can drive a car without half a key.
Exactly.
Or three quarters of a key. Well said. Well spotted. I was looking for an analogy all morning. And Darren's analogy is great as well, that the only other people who had the set of car keys were the Bank of Ireland. So how did the fraudsters get them? Your one is even is apt as well, saying the bank are saying you gave your car keys away, and you're saying no, they didn't. They gave a broken car key to somebody who managed to keep going and get the car going because the system in the car was compromised. Lisa, let me bring Lisa. How much? Your godson.
It was 2,900 was taken from his account. Now the only thing is, his money was actually put into a Revolut account.
Okay.
He had been down in Kildare Village, bought a couple of items. The next morning, he got the text to say that his card had been used fraudulently.
And was the text? Was the text from the Bank of Ireland?
Yes. Okay, on his thread. From Bank of Ireland.
Sorry, it wasn't from the Bank of Ireland, but it was on the Bank of Ireland thread.
Now, the only thing, he would have to talk to himself, only he's just not available today. I said, I'd just ring in because so many people are ringing in.
I don't know what age your godson is.
19.
£2,000.
£2,900.
In the world we live in.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and it's affected him quite badly. He's very upset about it. Having said that, he's got a lot of consolation from your show in that, you know, he doesn't feel that he was...
Well, he wasn't alone, and he wasn't negligent, and he didn't he didn't give his car keys away to a random stranger.
No, he did get the letter yesterday. I think yesterday, the day before, to say that it's grossly negligent.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. Yeah. Now he did report it to the guards as well on the night. He went up and reported it, but we haven't heard since. He was told to go back. The bank came back and said they couldn't do anything. The guards told him to go back up to them.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yes, Peter.
Joe, I think the important point in all of this conversation is
I don't think people realise, like, they're obviously, their adrenaline is pumping when they're
get
on the website.
You get that message, yes.
Yeah, I don't think people realise that the second, if you like, the verification part, they ask you for the second three digits, so they actually have your six digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the verification code that said, that's just a smoke screen.
Okay.
That's why they're renting your account out.
Yeah. Well spotted, yeah.
And sorry, Joe, just on my son actually got a call as well from an orbit, and he believed it was from the bank, and he gave details over the phone, and then he just smelt a rat about the whole thing and went onto the website and rang the bank, and he said, when I was talking to somebody from your department a few minutes ago, and they said, we never rang you.
Yeah.
That's just to distract you while they're emptying your account out.
You see, I'm a great believer in the postal and the postal system. If anyone rang me, I think it did happen once. I said, okay, you're from the bank. You know, you have my address there on my account. Send the details out to me. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
And the postal system is just so reliable. But anyway, that was a way of saving money, of not paying the 95 cent or whatever. But they'd probably do a better deal than that with them post. But anyway, that's one of the ways.
Joe, that web address is now taken down off the internet.
Which web address, Peter?
The one they use on the link. That's the scam address.
Okay, yeah.
That's down now.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, and everyone is down because they've had money stolen off them. But anyway, Lisa...
I haven't, by the way, John.
I know, fair play and well spotted and well done. Lisa, Peter Atkinson, Sue Kane, thanks for that advice, Sue. 51551, wash your hands, Joe at rt.ie.
Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.